Hey, what's up? This is Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Jay and Lon caught mid-conversation.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd be like, hey, you guys ready to do this thing? Filibuster. Let's not talk about Iowa.
Derek's being the parent in the room.
He's got a lot of ideas after the Iowa game. He's like, we should do this and that.
Let's
get into it.
Hey, Derek, I think they're about ready to put the Christmas tree up in Philo right out here in the intersection. I'm telling you, it is one of my favorite things to come in every day. Do you remember that last year, Jay? I don't know how Jay's looking. There's nobody out there right now, but right in the middle of that intersection.
Right in the middle of the street, right? Yeah.
The door is blocking. Make a better door than a window, right?
Yeah. I can't wait for it to get up there. I want to do everything but, this is like with Kyle here wanting to talk Cubs, and I do everything but talk Cubs.
It is brutal talking about Iowa, man. We got out Iowa.
We did.
We just felt it coming the whole game. Especially in that fourth quarter. We really outplayed Iowa the second and third quarter.
I agree.
A very even game. You look at it, 280 to 281 yards, not many turnovers. I guess, you know, Gabe Backus had that one where he caused a fumble and they turned it to a first down. That's an Illinois thing to happen, right?
I forgot
about
that.
And then they had equal penalties. So very evenly matched. But when the plays mattered down the stretch, we didn't execute. Couple throws by Paddock, Casey Washington not catching the football, not filling the gap and tackling people.
Right.
And that ends up losing the football game. And it's a pretty brutal way to lose because you could be in it for the West Division right now if you were still there.
I hate to say that it comes down to one play, but a game like that sometimes does. I feel like if Casey Washington catches that ball, Illinois wins that game.
You feel like it flips the field.
It did. It would have
flipped the field. You have more time to chew off the clock.
Right.
You know that Deacon Hill can't throw the rock. Instead, we have difficulty with our punt. And then the one bad punt we have, it happens. We don't have Cooper DeJean back there, but their guy returns it for like 20 yards.
He did.
Like a 15-yard net punt. And they get a little momentum. Of course, there's always a good DPI for us, defensive pass interference, when we least need it.
Well, of course.
Right? And when we least need it. And then we stopped that counterplay much of the game.
Yes.
And just missed a couple tackles on that, unfortunately. So there were some good things, but just not enough. I think Kirk Ferentz is 17 of 18, has won 17-1 in November games.
Unbelievable. Mm.
Something crazy. That's a team that gets better and better. Now, guys, let's have a little zoom out perspective. 5 years ago, we lost 63-0.
Yeah.
We're in a better spot.
There's no doubt.
Than we were then.
There's no doubt.
Iowa 15, Illinois 13. The Illini dropped to 5-6. Still been since 1999 that you've gotten a win in Kinnick Stadium. It did feel like one of your best opportunities to get one within that stretch. Maybe I mentioned it going into the game that probably outside of 2007 when you guys marched in there and had one with the – illegal man downfield late, that this would have been a prime opportunity because of the lack of offense that Iowa has. Well, they sure were celebrating Brian Ferentz like he just had coached a shootout 45-40 win.
And everything.
They were fired up about what he did to get those 15 points, and really that there was a safety mixed in there, so how about 13? But yeah, Jay, it did feel like if Illinois doesn't make mistakes late, I said it, I was watching with my wife, I was like, if Illinois doesn't make mistakes, I don't feel like Iowa's going to pull this off. But they wait for you to make those. And when you do, like the punt, like the DPI, I do want your opinion on that third and eight conversion.
Sure.
Was that a mistake on Illinois to give that up? I mean, or do you just credit Iowa for making a play call where maybe you're thinking pass and they get the yards they need?
I think you're always thinking run with Iowa at that situation. I don't think you should be thinking pass with Deacon Hill. I mean, when Deacon Hill was on the script in the first quarter, he actually did decent. The guy cannot move. I mean, I think the guy, Deacon Hill, is a good guy. He's not a starting Big Ten quarterback at other places, right? Now, he sure looked like it the first half against Illinois, but two plays. I would say, you know, the first one with the play they scored on, they're down 10-13. Well, we just missed. We missed a tackle. Clayton Bush was unblocked. He missed a tackle in the hole, and he made that tackle four or five times, you know, prior to that, you know, and he's actually been playing more at safety because he's been better at run fits than some of the other safeties we've had. The third and eight you're talking about, I believe, is to try to force them to kick a field goal and have us have a chance to get back on, get the ball back. And what I saw there was, you know, one of the defensive linemen just spun out of his gap. Him and Rosiak were in the same gap. And then, unfortunately, we didn't have the safety down there quick enough, and they got 8 yards. So two critical – I think more like 10 yards, 10 or 11 yards to get the first down. At two critical times, we weren't good down the stretch in the run fits. And that's what happens, right? You always think it has to be defense or a interception return for a touchdown or special teams, you know, catch the punt and return it for Iowa. But they did it with their offense. I think that's the discouraging part. They found a way with their offense to get the win down in the fourth quarter.
Good job by you as a pro. I jumped from drive to drive there. Speaking of crunch time, when you had the punt, the DPI and then the third and eight on a different one.
Yeah, two drives there, like you said, and they were different drives. I think the playbook's completely open when they're trying to score.
Sure.
But you know, when they're not necessarily trying to score and just trying to hold the ball,
yeah, that's a good point.
I think that, you know, you're basically what they call into a four-minute drill. A four-minute drill is what the offense does when you're up by a score to try to keep the ball away from Illinois, which they were doing very well, right?
Yeah.
The four-minute drill. And that first down, because – and Brett could go back in that whole sequence. He would probably do different game management strategies, right? I mean, the timeout burn.
Right.
The same throw, two plays in a row into the same kind of – into Joe Evans or Jay Higgins, whoever knocked down that pass. I think he could have been different.
Derek, I want to ask you a question. Jay is he's toughing it out today. He's got a little bit of a
a little bit of cold,
a little bit of a cold thing. So I'm going to let him get a drink and then come back strong with the sponsors that make this thing possible. And by the way, I'm already shorter than you guys, and then I get the chair that doesn't stay up when you bring it up. So now I just feel like this little. I'm like a Christmas elf today.
You do. You are sinking a little bit. I will say that. You're sinking a bit.
I'm sinking.
But your voice makes you seem taller.
Okay, that's good.
When I was a kid, when I watched WAND, you seemed taller.
People would be like, well, you seem what would they say? Something about whatever on TV. I'm like, well, I am sitting down, you know, on TV.
Yeah.
But, Derek, I want to ask you, like, it was the frustration, I think, in that game that I was proud of Illinois in that game. Like, I felt like Illinois played really well against a solid Iowa team. But the way you look at it, Pipes, is, you know, their quarterback's not as good as yours, I don't think. They're losing their All-American, and DeJean, he's not there to return punts, to play defense, et cetera. And down that stretch of that game, I just kept waiting for the shoe to fall. And I know that Jay and I, we talked a little bit about that. In fact, I think that's what we were talking about when you finally said, hey, guys, we got to do a show here. But what was going through your mind, Pipes, like in that second half? Was it the impending doom that I felt, or did you feel like Illinois was just a play away from putting this thing away?
I was fighting it back and forth. I wanted to believe that it was going to happen. I was actually thinking in my head, man, Jeremy Warner was the only one that went on the limb and picked Illinois to win, and maybe I'm finally going to get one wrong here. People have been waiting for that.
The streak continues, 9-1 for Piper.
I can be bribed into picking Illinois to beat Northwestern.
Which game did you not pick?
Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
10-1. Still eligible for the college football playoff. but, yeah, there is obviously the lingering doubt of it's Iowa.
Yeah.
And as Illinois didn't make those plays offensively to get within maybe two scores up on them, that it was going to be a mistake or two that would allow Iowa right back in it. But watching that Iowa offense, though, in the second half, I was like, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if Illinois doesn't open the door. Now, of course, you do have the bad punt, which was very reminiscent of the Michigan game. I know we think back to last year's game and the pass interference by Witherspoon, or I should say the non-pass interference call by Michigan on their pick play is really what comes to mind.
Yep.
But Hugh Robertson had like a 30-yard punt that gave Michigan the ball at midfield and allows them to go down and swing that game. It was very reminiscent of a bad punt, a return, and all of a sudden, you know, you're punting from like your 35 and they get the ball darn near close to midfield. So that was one that opened the door, and it seemed like Iowa was coming, and it was just going to be – I called it. I think Kinnick is the no-fun zone for a lot of people.
No doubt.
And Illinois was having a lot of fun with John Paddock in the last two games, and he slowed down in this one, and ultimately Iowa prevailed because they – seemed to be inevitable.
I think it was the right call to start him.
I did too.
One thing me and Lon were fighting about prior is that is that Lon's like, hey, you know, I think Altmyer's the quarterback of the future. We rode John Paddock, you know, the hot hand. So Lon's like, well, do you put Luke back in there? I think Luke's is a good player. I don't think he's gonna be. I think he's good and he's gonna get better. But I think John Paddock's been named the starter. We think.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I saw Jeremy Warner quote Brett Bielema after the game as saying, yeah, he'll be the starter next week.
So I would say this, though. If I could take any kind of solace from the game, the last 2 weeks, it's kind of looked a little bit like the UTSA offense that Barry Lunny had, where they had like a lot of RPO.
I remember
they had
that.
Some quick throws out.
Yeah, still.
They were banging those outside hitch routes to Isaiah Williams. You know, so we've had a little bit more of development of that. I'm wondering if Luke, when he comes back, if we have more of that when Luke comes back, along with the running game. I also think we have Caden Fagan, we win that game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think without Caden Fagan, we don't do a not even a sneak with a push. It wasn't a tush push because we were out of empty, right? And I think if John Paddock could go back, he probably would just get upfield and get that.
Yeah,
right?
He would have had it if he'd have cut.
Just cut up. But I think you have Fagan, you probably hand it to Fagan there.
Mm-hmm.
We have one running back other than Fidanzo.
That's incredible.
Who got a carry, right? I mean, we have run four season-ending injuries for running backs.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Do you need 10 next year?
When you're at Illinois, it does. Something about it makes it work, right?
That's crazy.
There's the Illinois factor. So I think we have Caden Fagan in there. You know, we got some great texts in here. I mean, we got a guy from 651 saying, I was like a mongoose with a cobra. Keep the pressure on it for as long as it takes for you, the cobra, to get tired and make a mistake. Then they clamp down your head and kill you.
Boom.
Scott in Terre Haute says, fans went nuts on Twitter after the game. Everyone fired. Shows they care. Is that about this game?
Yeah, no. I think what he's saying is it does show you that, I mean, I think Brett Bielema has given you belief back in this program, right? I mean, I think sometimes with Lovie Smith, it was,
oh god,
you just moved on to the next thing in your life. You didn't rant about anything. I mean, I did on Mondays, but other than that, I think you just kind of, I mean, at least with this team, I do feel like Illinois fans sense that they're right on the cusp of being halfway deep. Now, will we ever get over that? I don't know. I don't know how Wisconsin did it. I don't know how Iowa did it. You know, I can remember when Wisconsin sucked. I remember when Iowa sucked.
I can't.
I do.
I can't remember any of those.
And it's now you look at those two programs, and it's like, I expect them to beat Illinois almost every time. I go into it
and
expecting
they expect
that. Yes,
to
they
beat
do.
Illinois every time.
And I think that matters. Like, I bet you in high school played teams where you're like, we will beat this team because we always beat this team.
Right.
Urbana.
That's true. That's why I didn't say that. But, yes, I actually did lose to Urbana as a sophomore with Morris Virgil because they were really good.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was me good. Against – well, yeah, Morris Virgil. It was me against, like, Tuscola. Tuscola just seemed to always have our number.
Yeah.
Even though we were fairly competitive with them in most every sport when I was in high school, at least. But it was just this doom feeling I had going in there. Right. And that's what I have now when we play Wisconsin and Iowa.
Yeah.
And it's just it stinks. Like, I don't have that with Purdue for some reason. And they've kicked our you-know-what.
I actually don't even have that with Nebraska because we have very short history with them.
Point.
And we've had, you know, some good success against them. But I think when you think Purdue, Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois fans just think those are wins that we should get. Right. Or Northwestern, right? Even though we haven't had a lot of success against Purdue. Before Brett got here, we had lost six in a row Northwestern.
That's
so
unreal.
All of that combined, there's really not a team right now. We haven't had sustained success to be like, oh, yeah, we got that team.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Iowa, Wisconsin have had our number.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kirk Ferentz, it's not sexy, but, man, boy, they get wins.
He gets
it done. I mean, he's second or third all-time in the Big Ten history for wins.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I mean, we're talking like Woody and Bo stuff here.
Yeah. He passed Bo, right?
He's behind Woody, and he's behind Amos Alonzo Stagg. I mean, you do one more season of nine wins, I think he's the number one winningest coach in Big Ten history.
I don't see Kirk punching anybody on the sidelines either.
I don't think
he's going to go Woody.
No, that was what Woody did.
I think there's a couple of different angles for the frustration. Number one, like, obviously you were in control of the game, at least up in the fourth quarter, and felt like you could put away an Iowa team that, yes, their record is sterling at now 9-2, but they're the most unimpressive division winner
ever
in Power Five, if not ever. And they just seem to be very gettable this year. I think also it's the realization of we're 5-6. We may not beat Northwestern. Back-to-back bowl games where it seemed like early in the year the season was dead. It went off the tracks. It may never get back on. Then they started playing better football, and now it's like, okay, we outplayed Wisconsin for a good portion of the game and let it slide. We played neck and neck with Iowa up in the fourth quarter, let it slide. And now if we don't beat Northwestern, who's been playing better football of late, we're not going bowling. We're 5-7 again. And we can't even get to back-to-back bowl games, which shouldn't be that hard. It really shouldn't, especially with this schedule, especially when you bring back an NFL guy like Johnny Newton, and you have some other pieces there. Isaiah Williams, is he going to be back for another year? I think that is all kind of snowballing together of like, oh, we should have beat Iowa. I'm tired of losing to these guys. But also, are we even going to go to a bowl game?
Yeah, first off, I think the biggest thing when we think about progress is 5-7 is the same record as 2 years ago. So we're like, are we in the same spot that we were 2 years ago? I mean, it's something you could argue. And also, I will say, I know that the close losses wear on us, guys, but we have had four fourth quarter comebacks.
That's true.
Leading the FBS in that, right? But it seems like the losses, those ones that were close that we won, we just kept ourselves close to that through our own fault, right? And then we kind of come through. Right.
Unfortunately, Toledo is one of those, right?
Toledo's definitely one of those. But so when I look at this, I'm like, okay, are we advancing? I think we're in a better position than we were certainly 5 years ago. I just wish we were farther along in this rebuild process. Did we lose some players last year? Yeah, we did lose some players. Did we do great in the portal? No.
No.
And so I think that's the difficult thing. You're like, man, couple plays 2021, a couple plays in 2023, hey, we could be going to bowl games. We could also be 2-10.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm mad about the close losses, but we're pretty fortunate about some of the close wins this season. All right, I want to ask Piper one more, and then we will get to your sponsors, Jay. Pipes, you called this early about the portal. I mean, you called it early. You and Jay both called it. The idea that Illinois didn't go bang the portal hard enough to get probably what they needed at certain spots, especially when you're losing, you know, all these guys to the NFL. And kudos to, you know, having that kind of talent that obviously went on to the NFL and to still be halfway respectable and trying to win six games is sufficient. It's decent. But you talked about that early in the year about how you had to do that. It seems like on the basketball side, Brad Underwood is almost now to the point where that's his main thing. Like, every year, I'm just going to go get in the portal. I still want to get some kids in here because he knows, like, this year is kind of the last of the COVID year. So you kind of have to get back to where you're bringing in some high school along with the portal, if you ask me. Do you think now Brett automatically, like, looks at this year and says, we didn't do enough on the portal, and going forward, I'm going to rely a lot heavier on that?
I would hope.
I would,
especially
too.
In positions of need. I don't know when your sell would have been better to go out and get some real substance in the secondary than after having Devin Witherspoon, Sidney Brown, Quan Martin. Those guys hadn't been drafted yet, but they were forecast to be picked pretty highly, especially Devin Witherspoon, and got just a ton of accolades and a lot of national recognition. So not going to find a number one corner, a guy who could compete for that, was a mistake, in my opinion. Now, I don't know. You know, I'm not operating the collective. I don't know what the quote-unquote salary cap is for NIL-wise.
Sure. Well, according to P.J. Fleck, he can't compete and win without getting more money. So, if you're in Minnesota's on par with us, I don't know.
I think a lot of people are saying that. Now, everybody, if you have a good chunk, you're probably always wanting more to go out and get more opportunities to sell that, because you do have to balance. And I do give the collective credit for piecing together a situation where Johnny Newton thought it made sense to come back to school. Could you have played? I don't know what Keith Randolph's making. I don't know what Isaiah Williams is making. Could you have played a little bit more hardball with those guys and be like, are you guys really going to leave? Like,
yeah,
Keith,
that's a good point.
You've been a fourth or fifth round draft pick. Like, is it really in your best interest to go then and not try to come back and prove that? So I think that there's some interesting maybe conversations as far as that goes. But yes, like, they brought in Demetrius Hill, who I think was he a freshman All-American? I had heard that when they brought him in, and I was like, okay, why is he not in the starting 11 coming out of fall camp? And Nakario Harper comes in from Louisville, and I thought that maybe he would flash a little bit, because some of these guys, you just look at the school they come from, and you're like, all right, that's kind of – yeah, that's a decent spot. Maybe he'll be good.
Right.
They just didn't really have anything that really popped. And I know they were, you know, Tyler Strain, some of these other guys, Taz Nicholson, were names we were familiar with, but they just, as a unit back on the back end, it has not been good enough.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I would say this. I think the Ryan Walters shift from him leaving, I think that took a little bit of luster off of the getting DB here, number one. Then number two,
that's a good point.
We focused a lot on keeping the guys that we had, and Brett continues to say that, rather than going out and getting more talent. And I would say, I can see some legitimacy to that, but also we've seen a lot of holes depth-wise that we really needed to address. It has been a revolving door at the safety position. I mean, we've gone through Miles Scott. Xavier Scott's been back there. Clayton Bush has been back there. Obviously, Nakario Harper, who's the guy? Resetich?
Yeah, Resetich, who doesn't need to be back there. Not yet.
He's got a good number.
He's got a good number. He does have 47.
And then, you know, who's the guy out of the guy out of Moline who played last year?
That's hurt.
Yeah.
Bailey.
Matthew Bailey. Thank you. Yeah. So we've had some bang-up issues and whatnot, but let me get to the sponsors. Iroquois Federal, are your one-stop shop for all your linen needs, located in Savoy and Champaign. Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Mark McHale, and Brenda Crane can help you with all of your lending needs. You got to go see them at Iroquois Federal, especially for commercial lines of credit or commercial loans or owner-occupied residential mortgages. If you need insurance, call Kyle Lewis. Kyle's my insurance agent. That's Kyle Lewis. Kyle at IPGINS.com for all your insurance needs, auto, home, life, habitational, and, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. Guys, come for the fried pickles and stay for the steak. If you've hit the fried pickles up yet, would you hit the text line? Let us know how the fried pickles were. They are legit.
Donnie had to take a day off because of his calf.
A week off.
A week.
So they were closed last week, and they're closed this week for Thanksgiving, so hopefully he'll be back.
That's good. Well, listen, you got to get rested up. Hey, Heath sent this to us on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line. I'm not sure who to thank for this, minus Heath, unless he did all the work. It shows three different things here in terms of Illinois' point differential versus Power 5 teams in the first 3 years of a coach's tenure. I'll just go with that one.
Ooh, that's cool.
So the point differential versus Power 5 teams first 3 years, Ron Turner was minus 357, Ron Zook minus 311,
wow.
Beckman minus 473, Lovey minus 539.
Wow.
New record.
And Brett Bielema plus 20. So you've actually outscored your Power 5 opponents by 20 points in the first 3 years. Thank you, Heath, for sending that. And if you did the work on that, well done. He also has, like, cumulative Power 5 scores and average point differential per game. And Bielema in that one is a plus as well. So, well, that tells you.
Beat by 20 points a game in the first 3 years.
I was part of the Ron Zook Penn State debacle in 2005. That added 50 points to that. I
mean, no. So
we added, like, it was 63-10 or something. Hello, 63-3. Wow.
Are you just trying to hurt people when it gets that big?
I mean, that was on national TV, ESPN, night game. We came out, we actually scored the first field goal. We are hyped out of our mind. And then Tamba Ali just destroyed Tim Brasek. I mean, I think he hit him so hard from behind that his face mask hit the ground first, his feet hit last. And we were so quiet on the sideline. And then I tried to tackle Michael Robinson, who was probably the beast, just a beast of a quarterback. He was running the option quarterback. I just got destroyed. I just got absolutely destroyed.
I remember that game. My mom got tickets from work. We were excited, me and my brothers, to go to that game. Oh. And we just kind of – you look at yourself, you look at each other around halftime, you're like, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I do. I will say, I think that was a night game, obviously.
That was a night game.
A lot of time to pregame. The guy sitting next to my brother rolled up his program at one point and tried to drink it. That was before you could actually get a beer inside the stadium. He was trying to get some extra fuel.
We have a lot of dark memories in our corridor, or my corridors of Illinois football. That Penn State game, that added a lot of points on that one for sure.
Yep. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Questions for Jay, hit us up. Also, predictions for Illinois Northwestern. Is this team going bowling? Give us your thoughts, whether it's from this past weekend or going forward into Illinois' regular season finale, and whether there will be a postseason. Want to hear what you guys think about that.
The QB pipes.
Yeah, that too.
Who should start at quarterback?
Ron wants to hit on this.
I want to hit on this.
It's very fair.
Yeah, Let's go.
Luke Altmyer or John Paddock. It seems Brett Bielema has made that call, but what say you on the U of I Atlanta League text line? We'll talk about all that next. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men and a Truck.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Fighting Illini football is back at Memorial Stadium for the final home game of the season on Saturday, November 25th, as they take on Northwestern in the battle for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. Bring the whole family to enjoy our family fun zone in Grange Grove with bounce houses, food trucks, balloon artists, and tailgating. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's final home game against Northwestern on Saturday, November 25th. Get $15 tickets at fightingillini.com.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two men and a truck.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's the Jay Layman Hour. Excited to visit with Jay here, talk everything football. Meanwhile, I am in heaven because the Maui Invitational is on my television.
So do you watch, like, do you, like, sit at home and watch the Maui Invitational during the day?
I would, yeah.
I'm a sports writer. I guess you're a sports writer, so that's what you do.
Yeah, hey, honey, I'm working. I'm watching the game on the couch.
Tennessee, Illinois has got to play Tennessee soon. So
yeah, I got to know what's up.
He's got to scout them.
Oh, Rick Barnes is like ageless. That guy's been more places. No doubt. I mean, I just feel like he's looked the same for 30 years. I'm looking at him right now. Has not Rick Barnes and Boeheim looked the same?
That's this a is great the ageless call, bowl. Jay.
I mean, Boeheim is like 80, and he looks.
He finally retired.
Okay,
yeah,
I got
he's
you.
Finally
okay.
out.
I'm
yeah.
showing that I'm not a basketball analyst, but between that, those guys always look the same. Rick Barnes has looked the same since he coached at Texas
you
like
are,
20 years ago.
You yes. nailed that. Here's Piper and I to a T. He's watching this for basketball, and okay. he can tell you everything about every team that's playing in this. All I see is a beach in Hawaii, and I start explaining the Gulf Coast of Florida and all the beaches between Clearwater Beach.
We
to
had
Naples.
No idea we had our West Florida travel agent expert yeah. here. Guys, I am shocked. Another topic about West Florida, I will say this. You see a lot of Illinois people down there.
You do.
I feel like you rep some orange. People are like, hey.
Big time.
I see you. You Big know, time. Where I feel like the other coast is more like
it's Boston.
East coast.
It's Boston and New York.
So the Midwest Haven is the west coast of Florida.
I like
and
it.
And the Hicks are in the panhandle. I can't figure out which one I need to be going to.
I'm usually hanging up there at St. George Island. There's some Hicks up there with me. So
yeah.
That's a good spot,
that's
too.
That's beautiful.
And Cape St. George, St. Joe, I think, is up there.
So. Yep. Port St. Joe and stuff.
Port St. Joe. That's it. Cape San Blas and Port St.
Yes,
Joe.
That's a beautiful
that's
little,
yes.
like a hook that comes
yes,
off.
Yes.
yes. All right. Sorry, Piper.
All right. No, we
Tennessee, quick update. Tennessee up 69-56, a minute to go over Syracuse. They're going to hold on to this lead, and then coming up next, we'll have Purdue and Gonzaga.
Oh, nice.
So enjoy that.
And we'll talk a little Illinois win last night over Southern. We'll do that next
do that.
Hour, bottom of the hour. We have yes. Luke Altmyer on at 4:05.
Yeah, the Southern Jaguars.
Let's go.
On
Let's
the
go.
Note of Luke Altmyer.
Let's go to it.
Kyler weighs in on the U of I Atlanta League text line. We threw it out there. What do you say? What's your opinion as far as the quarterback controversy? Although there really isn't one, I guess, in Brett Bielema's mind. He says, we let Paddock have his opportunity now. I don't see how you don't go back to your quarterback of the future who is playing pretty darn good football right before the injury. What do you think about that, Jay?
Well, I do believe that Luke Altmyer is probably playing his best ball after Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good little 4 or 5 games there. He's playing really good against Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think Luke is the best quarterback in the Big Ten West. Now, that bar is about as high as, you know.
I can jump.
Yeah, I can jump. We're not even talking like, I was going to say monkey bars, but those are actually pretty high.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, it's like stepping over the curb. You know, that's what the bar is when you're walking down. Like that's the bar of Big Ten West quarterbacks.
Hey, I tripped over that curb coming out of Daly's one time. So that's.
Okay, it's
I was
the
going downhill
it's
though.
It's the curve when you're fully sober.
Okay, yeah,
so we'll give it that. Okay, so I think Luke's the quarterback of the future. Yeah, do I think he's got a lot of cool ability to extend plays? He's got toughness. He's a tough kid. He's got a good arm. Sometimes holds the ball on too much. It seems to me that the play calling, if you were to look just at the play calling, it's been very different play calling. Some of that's been the lack of running backs. Okay. But we've seen a lot more RPO with Paddock. We've seen a lot more quick hitting. He's getting
yes,
the ball out.
Yes.
We've seen less boot action. We've seen less sprint out. We've seen less quarterback read, quarterback run plays designed to run. And so it's a different kind of offense. Listen, I was all about John Paddock. I'm actually for John Paddock this week. I think you can play Paddock. I think whoever gives you the best chance to win, I think he's played really well. He had probably 6 or 7 drops in that game. All right, in the Iowa game. If he doesn't have 6 or 7 drops, you're at 275 against the Iowa defense. You're 30 of 47. You're like, dude.
Yeah, at least there were a couple by those guys in the black jerseys, too.
Yeah.
Well, right.
he threw some 500 balls up there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, but the quarterback, so I'm for John Paddock getting to finish it out here, although I do believe Luke Altmyer's here. I know Lon disagrees with me, so I want to give Lon the mic here.
I feel like I'm going to a gunfight with a knife when I'm going in to argue against Jay Layman, who is the king of this stuff and knows football 10 times better than me. But I think you said it. I think part of why you're seeing the game plan like it has been is that you had Fagan only healthy in a couple of those games, and then you had Love only healthy
right.
in the game against
sure.
Iowa. I think that dictated the fact that we got to pass the ball a lot
sure.
more. And I don't know that Illinois would ever want to pass 47 times in a game like they did against Iowa
right.
to win, but I felt like they almost had to.
Right.
I'm shocked that you are on that side of John Paddock. And here's why. I feel like Illinois did the right thing in rewarding John Paddock that started Iowa. I felt that He came in. He saved your season against Minnesota. He was lights out, obviously, against Indiana, throwing for 500 yards. So in my mind, he deserved the start Saturday. And I don't think that he did anything horribly wrong.
Sure.
But to me, you did it, and now it's like, okay, we kind of rode that for a little bit, but the momentum has stopped.
Yeah.
Now I want to look back to the kid that didn't lose his job because of his performance. He lost it because he got injured. And I feel
I feel like
Luke Altmyer, again, is your quarterback for the next 2 years. I don't fear him entering the portal.
Right.
He's already done it once. He'd have to sit out a year. Right. So I'm not worried about that if somebody's worried about that. I just think this is my guy for the next 3 years. Including this one, obviously. And I want to see him go beat Northwestern here at home. I want to see him in a bowl game. And I want to see Luke Altmyer for the next 2 years.
So if Paddock won against Iowa,
then he
definitely stays. Okay.
Then he definitely stays.
Gotcha.
And I'm not – that makes it sound like I'm like putting all of it on Paddock Saturday, and I'm not. I mean, I don't want to think that we lost that game at Iowa because of John Paddock. It's not that. I just feel like you did what you should do. You rode the hot hand into that Iowa game, but you also lost. And now I feel like even Luke Altmyer, I feel like, and we can ask him, I guess, but in his mind, I would even feel like Luke Altmyer's thinking like I am. Like, look, you know, John deserves this. He did great against Minnesota. He was unbelievable against Indiana. Sure. He deserves to start, but now it's my team again.
Yeah.
And I want it back, and I want to lead this team to a bowl game after what I had done most of the season. So that's my thought. Pipes?
I feel like John Paddock is the safer option at this point because he's been playing football at this point, you know, preparing and getting the reps and the game reps.
Mm-hmm.
I would be afraid if Luke Altmyer goes out there having not played in a game in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And shows some rust.
Hell, Paddock didn't show any against Minnesota. Or Indiana.
You're right.
That's why we don't want to bench him. But I would say this.
I'll
finish your point.
That's fair.
I just feel like you have to coach this game, obviously. And I'm not saying that you're framing this differently. You can be accomplishing two things at once by saying that Altmyer's our quarterback of the future, and he could still, in some people's opinion, give you the best chance to win against Northwestern.
Fair.
I think from Brett Bielema's perspective, the perception of bowl game or no bowl game is so important that you have to go with the guy you feel like is going to give you the best chance to win, or just in my opinion, I feel like it's the lower floor with John Paddock by going out there against Northwestern because he's been your quarterback the last few weeks. That's just my opinion on it.
That's fair.
I do want to give Luke his due and say he's been playing good football.
I think Luke's been playing good football. We have great things to say about Luke, but I would say the biggest thing is, and this was the big thing about last week too, who gives us the best chance to win these next two games? Well, we lost the one game, right? Who gives us the best chance to get against Northwestern? It seems like the coaches believe that it's John Paddock. Now, we have had smoke screens from Bielema before, and I've never had a player lose a game to injury. So he comes out and says in his post game, John's going to start next week. We don't know if he's going to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, he kind of said that, right? But I think what's difficult is, and it's near the end of the season, so this won't necessarily happen, when you start doing this back and forth thing and guys start looking over their shoulder, according to one Big Ten coach, listen, if you got two quarterbacks, you got none, right?
Good point.
So pick your guy and go with it. Who gives you the best chance to win? I think I'm just endeared to Paddock for what he did. We talk about NIL money.
Amen.
What? This guy has no NIL money. He's a walk-on. And he got two wins. What's that worth to the program?
That's huge.
He gets three wins, right? And so what I saw, I had not seen an offense that exciting in years.
It's true.
At least I felt we could move the ball a little bit against Iowa, too.
How much is Lunny behind this, you think?
I think he's a huge factor.
I do, too.
I think he's a huge factor.
Because you said it. I mean, you're kind of looking like you were at UT. Yeah, TSA.
UTSA, yeah. I mean, like you guys said, do we want to throw the ball 47 times in the Big Ten West? Probably not, but we might have to going into the next ones, right? We don't have a running back right now. Mm-hmm. Our receivers are probably our best position group right now, playing. So why are we not just going all in on our strengths right now if we can't run the football? Paddock can throw it better right now. He's throwing it better, at least in the scheme he has, getting the ball out. We haven't been able to protect for a long time, but he's been able to protect better with Paddock because he gets the ball out quicker. So I think you throw all those things, I think Paddock gives us the best chance to win. I still think Luke's the quarterback of the future. And I think, to your point, people are saying, well, you know, can we – you were saying, hey, Luke Altmyer is the quarterback of the future. that's why we got to play him, or do we not play him? I just think the bowl game takes precedence over everything.
That's fair.
And we got to get to 6-6, and I think Paddock gives us the best chance. I still love Luke. I think he's going to be a great player.
That's a good argument. That was a good argument.
A 6-3-0, and I did want to get your take on this, Jay, is that Paddock had his passes batted down. Altmyer holds the ball a little longer and can scramble. I don't think it really matters. Let's go and have a road trip to Detroit. On the note of having the passes batted down, what did you make of that? Was there anything Illinois could have done differently to make sure that that didn't happen?
Was Kyler in there?
Just having those knocked down late was frustrating. Is that something on Paddock? Is that something on play call? What did you make of that?
Well, first off, I want to give a shout out to 217-519. They said, hey, I was there a couple weeks ago at Long Branch for the rodeo, and we had the fried pickles. Boom. They were awesome. Let's go. Thank you for texting it. We got that. But how do we prevent someone actually batting passes down, right? This is something that Doug Flutie had to deal with a ton. And so they had to actually change the blocking scheme for him to create passing lanes because he couldn't see over the offensive line. So it can be done. You know, Paddock seems decently athletic, but he doesn't go out of the pocket much. Mm-mm. Where Luke is out of the pocket and trying to see. They're about the same height, right? It looks like. It's pretty obvious when we were getting the ball out on three-step drops over and over and over and over again, the linemen are going to stop rushing and get their hands up. And we did that on back-to-back plays late in the game. They did a great job getting their hands up. I think we need to either move the pocket, change our protection a little bit so that we get some more throwing lanes. Also, throw a little bit more play action in there, because when you play act, you're going to force the defensive line to kind of attack the run and not get their hands up, right? And you can dump it over the top to the tight end.
Good
or
call.
Something. So we could do some different things. It seemed like Barry Lunny, got into kind of the shotgun 2 minute, let's throw it around all over the place. And I don't think that's Brett Bielema, what he wants to do. I think it's a fun brand of football to watch. I had the most fun. I've watched Illinois when they played Indiana, scored everywhere. It was like, yes, this is amazing. But I think a lot of that is predicated on who is healthy. We don't have a lot of healthy backs.
And I give Iowa's defense credit. And I said it Saturday. I said, here's what's happened. Iowa brought heat a lot early in that game.
More so than Iowa brings a
big
lot, right?
But they could not get to Paddock. No. And I credit the offensive line. I credit John for getting rid of the ball. And then I think Iowa just switched it up and said, all right, guys, we're not getting to him, but he's quick throwing, so now I want defensive linemen to get their hands
up.
I mean, that's a note that I made, and I hardly ever make good notes.
Hard-hitting analysis right there, guys. You're good, man. It's totally accurate.
I think it's very accurate on what happened. All right, one thing we talked about, too, at the break is we had kind of laughed about some of the previous coaches and how the craziness it was between, like, you know, Lovey's first year, he lost by an average of 20 a game. And Brett is actually outscoring Power 5.
I think his first 3 years he
lost by 20 years,
which
I'm sorry.
Which is crazy.
It is. So you mentioned the Penn State game that you played in, and you said there should have been a junior ready to play instead of me.
Yes.
But you didn't have the depth.
Right.
Does this team right now, they got to be getting closer. Are they at the point where they do have the depth to, when someone leaves or someone gets hurt, that they're able to then throw in someone that is more of an upperclassman, if you will? In other words, that would give you a chance to win.
I hope we're getting to that point. But I think when you look at Illinois football, what we have is we have the COVID year kind of paradox playing out, where you got guys playing longer than they should ever play, right?
Yep.
And got some fifth and sixth year guys coming. And then who would really take those spots as guys you recruited in the fall of 2019 and 2020? Well, who was recruiting for Illinois in the fall of 2019 and 2020? Because you're going to redshirt in 2021. You're going to have your freshman season and sophomore season this year. And then you're going to have a junior season. Well, it was Lovey Smith recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that huge gap. So I don't think we're there yet. I think we need another year or two, because good program will do this. You'll come in, and historically, this is how it's been. With a transfer portal, I guess everything's
changes
different.
Things.
But, like, let's say you're at Michigan or Ohio State. Very rarely, as a freshman, are you going to come in and play, especially if you're playing close to football. Maybe a skill player, but very rarely going to play. You're going to sit for 2 or 3 years, right? And you're going to play behind a guy who sat for 2 or 3 years and played as a junior and senior. And you're like, man, there is no drop-off in this football team. They just reload. Well, they reload because they're putting grown men that are 22 years old out
there.
Exactly. And not 19-year-olds like they never played it down. Uh-huh. I think that's a big difference. and we're not there yet. Iowa might be a great example of that. The reason they reload is
they just look bigger.
They're jacked, yeah, right? They're going to have guys that are strong, and by the time they're a sophomore or junior, they're ready to play.
Yeah.
They're not going to play them right. They're going to redshirt almost everybody. When Barry Alvarez had it going, he redshirted almost everybody at Wisconsin. I know Brett did that a little bit too under Barry's guide. And so I don't think we're there yet, though.
Okay.
Jay, I want to dive in a little bit on Northwestern on the other side of this break. Hit us one more time with the sponsors before
Iroquois
we do so.
Iroquois Federal, your lending one-stop shop here in Savoy and Champaign. Iroquois Federal. Talk to Bob Guido, Mark McHale, Ryan Lowry, and Brenda Crane. Kyle Lewis. Kyle Lewis for your insurance. IPG Insurance. Kyle at IPGINS.com. Go ahead. Send an email to Kyle and say, man, I need a quote for my auto or home or life or habitational. Hit him up. And, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. We appreciate the text on the fried pickles. Guys, come for the fried pickles. Stay for the steak. I came up with that tagline. I don't know if Donnie's going to start using it, but I hope he does.
He should.
He's got to get better. Donnie's out this week, and so is Long Branch. But hit him back up next week. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m.
One more segment with Jay. Any questions, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're tired of the same old turkey or ham meal for the holidays, try something unique and delicious. Try locally grown yak roasts or steaks for the family. It'll be a meal they'll remember and create new family memories. The yak meat is 97% fat-free and healthy. One of their roasts slow-cooked in the crock pot will be easy and fill your home with delicious aromas. Their steaks are easy to grill and be the best tasting and healthiest red meat you'll ever eat. Visit them online, SavannahRidgeFarm.com. Put your order in for pickup at their farm or they'll deliver to your home. That's SavannahRidgeFarm.com.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank's CD specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates, visit your local service center, or call 1-800-67-BUSEY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Sunday, when I brought him in, explained to him kind of where I was coming from, why I was doing it. He totally bought in. I said, hey, this is the part that I've never seen you in, is now you're the backup quarterback. You're one play away. I think it's very fragile, right? Like, it's just for the first time, he wasn't the starting quarterback, and he's going to hear a little bit of outside noise when I didn't name the starter, right? And explained to him, I just need him to get better every day, to watch and learn, because as a number two, you just don't get near the amount of reps, right? He'd been taking all the one reps, and there's a player or two here today. If John gets hit, he could be inserted in the game. And I thought all week he really handled it very, very well. Even grabbed him last night and said, appreciate the way he's done things. I know it's been a tough week, and he gave a smile. He was really good on the sideline with John all the way through today.
Is that a competition, Brett, or will you continue to go with John going forward?
What's that?
Is that a competition going into next week, or will you continue to have it go with John?
No, I would think John would be their guy going into this week.
That is Brett Bielema after Saturday's game in Iowa City. To give you the word from the head man as far as John Paddock, and also previously there he was talking about Luke Altmyer and handling being the backup quarterback this week.
Good work on that, Derek, getting that up there, because that's interesting to hear. I disagree with it, but hey, he's the guy, and he's making a lot more money than I am to make those decisions.
Well, you know, we had a Brian from Mattoon chimes in and says, I thought Paddock was better than the stats indicated. Several drop passes. Also thought we could have went to the tight end with lack of running back depth. Stay with Paddock. I mean, it's kind of 50-50 here. You know, what about starting Paddock but put in packages for Luke? 816 says,
yeah, I mean,
saw that. There's a lot of different things we could do. I think it comes down to, and there's arguments for both, and one thing I respect about Brett is that he has never had this whole build for the future thing. He's wanted to win now.
Good call.
And I think he's going to say, who can I win with? Who's the best chance for this team to win right now?
Yeah.
And if I don't have a running back and Paddock's throwing the ball better right now, what gives the best chance to win? And because you guys know, we went through several rebuilds here where it's like, okay, once we get to year three or four, we'll be close. We've been close since day one. Hamilton Heath or whatever showed us. Heath Hamilton showed us, right?
No, that's true.
So I think we can go either way. I do think there's probably a shorter leash if stuff goes sideways. I think Luke could get in there. I do.
What do we expect from Northwestern? Not necessarily with Paddock and the quarterback situation. Just this is a Northwestern team that I would have to assume more than maybe anybody but Michigan and Ohio State believes in themselves as much as any team in the Big Ten.
I mean, they were horrible in September. You watch them, and you watch that first. I believe they played Rutgers first. They were just lifeless, right? Just lifeless. And people thought, I think the over-under was 1.5 for these guys on games they would win. Wow. And of course, they had Howard on the schedule as well. What David Braun's done has been really remarkable. They've had a turn. Since they came back against Minnesota, probably the first week of October, they had a 21-point comeback against Minnesota. Minnesota always good for a comeback, right? Since that game, they've been a different football team. They've done with two quarterbacks, Brendan Sullivan, but Ben Bryant's really their guy. They won some battles in the portal, got Cam Johnson there. Bryce Kurtz is finally healthy, so they got some weapons. Cam Porter at running back. So they've got some different weapons, but what David Braun has done – this is a team that won one game last year, 6 games this year, could be 7 games.
Wow.
I just think he could be the Big Ten coach of the year.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to be Harbaugh at this point. as they fire another linebacker coach, just mid-season, going into week 11 game, we're just going to fire a linebacker coach.
Get rid of that.
We're not admitting
pretty
anything.
Common practice for an undefeated team.
We're not admitting anything. He was a good recruiter and everything. We're just moving on. That whole thing's not done yet. Is the NCAA investigation is still going on. The Big Ten stuff is done. But I think they could be the Big Ten. I think David Braun could be the Big Ten coach.
I agree. 100%.
Down the stretch here, Northwestern has beaten Maryland, lost a close one to Iowa, won at Wisconsin, and then won pretty convincingly against Purdue. What are they doing so well right now, and is there any issues there as far as what they present against Illinois?
Well, one, they're throwing the football well. When Ben Bryant's back, they've been throwing the football, had some big plays in the passing game. They've had not great running game, but enough running game to actually keep people honest. The last two games have started very fast. Then they got up 21-3 against Wisconsin 2 weeks ago. They got up on Purdue. Now, Purdue didn't have Hudson Carr. They did not look good. They were trying to run the football. But Purdue ran for over 300 yards against Northwestern. So it hasn't been the Northwestern D that we're necessarily accustomed to, but they found ways to win, getting turnovers at key times, playing great in 2 minutes. And Ben Bryant's been the key at quarterback. So this is not going to be a gimme. I wish we could play all the teams that were bad in September.
I know.
Like let's play Iowa in September. Let's play Northwestern and Indiana in September. But, teams get better as they go. And guess what? A lot of teams want to play us in September because we weren't very good either.
Mm-mm.
Most important question of the day, Jay. What's the go-to at Thanksgiving? What's the Jay Lehman plate look like?
So I'm not usually a mixer of foods. Like I don't like to mix my foods.
Really?
Like my grandpa used to mix eggs and applesauce. I thought that was disgusting. Hmm. Okay. Like
that is interesting.
I'm not a mixer of foods, but at Thanksgiving I break that rule and I'm a mixer of dark meat turkey. That's a huge thing. Not the white meat's always dry, guys. Dark meat's where it's at, right? So dark meat turkey. mashed potatoes with cranberry and gravy all mixed together. Come on. That's where it's all at.
I like it. I like it.
That's the mixing part of it for me.
Oh, that is the one time Thanksgiving when I throw the noodles and the stuffing and the turkey and the mashed potatoes.
Gravy on everything.
They're just all in one pile, and I'm just like,
argh. Is there anything better than just eating a ton of stuff with your family and just watching TV, just right? Stuffed and eating four pieces?